Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims, and joining us this morning, Executive Director Justin Hayes and Program Director Christy Sowell with the White House-based Fostering Collective. Good morning, Justin and Christy. Great to have you joining us today.
Good morning. Thank you so much.
Sure thing.
Well, thanks for having us.
All right. Don't forget, In Focus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/InFocus. In Focus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Justin, you and Ellen, I believe one of your other colleagues, joined us maybe a little over a year ago, and it was a very interesting show and provided, I think, a really important update on the practice of fostering and encouraging foster parenting in Smith and surrounding counties. But it's been a good while, well over a year, and I know that there have been some updates that you'll want to share with us this morning. We certainly need to talk about how you've been affected by COVID-19, but why don't, Justin, either you or Christy, doesn't matter who, a little bit of history and background and just the basics of who you are, what you do, and why you do it.
Great. So we actually had a lot of people in the area that were just burdened with the foster care crisis in our community. And so Hope for 100, which was birthed out of Green Acres Baptist Church.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, so they had a nonprofit that then had a group of collective of local people in the area that were just really felt called and led to do more, and then developed what they called East Texas Orphan Care Network.
Mm-hmm.
And then so after they were beginning to meet and just beginning answering the call to the orphan care crisis, then I came on, and then Justin entered the world from, he was in the global orphan care ministry and stepped in, and we just really began to pray and reach out to the families and just try to decide on what God was calling us to do. And we just knew that two things really just came to mind, and that God just really was calling us to step in and recruit foster families, because there are definitely not enough in our area, and then shepherd those families, because 50% of families quit after the first year. So just having a really good support system in place. And so then the Fostering Collective was birthed.
All righty. How old is the Fostering Collective? How long has that actually been up and going? A couple of years?
We actually got the name, the Fostering Collective, correct me if I'm wrong, Christy, I think it was April in 2019. So we're less than 2 years old as far as the name, the Fostering Collective. But we really wanted to make sure that we were focusing in on everyone that has needs in the foster care area, because there is a lot of needs orphan care wise, and from global orphan care to international adoption and private adoption. But we really wanted to focus in on children that are in foster care right now and meeting those needs.
All right. But basically, the way you set yourself up, and I understand you've had quite a bit of success with this in the early going, you're kind of a one-stop shop for really anybody or any organization, church, business, nonprofit, individual, who has any interest in foster care from any angle whatsoever. And as I understand it, and from looking at your website, which, by the way, is thefosteringcollective.org, you want to be there, and you are there to answer questions and provide training to anyone who has any questions about fostering, people who are already fostering kids and need help, people who want to get started, churches and businesses who want to know how they can be involved. That pretty much sum it up?
Right.
Okay.
Yes, and one of our friends explains it well. Not that we provide everything, because we don't want to duplicate anything that's happening, but she explains us as air traffic control.
Mm.
And so as people want to get connected, and they may have no idea, they want to help, they just don't know how, then they can come to us, and we will help point them in the right direction. Sometimes it will be things that you can specifically do with us, but many times we're helping you to get pointed to either finding your fit with the right agency, if you're interested in fostering or adoption, or it's helping with whichever clothes closet is closest to you, or figuring out which churches are connected and helping through the churches.
Okay. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. Welcome if you're just joining us. We're talking to Justin Hayes and Christy Sowell with the Fostering Collective. Now, just kind of to sum things up here, you're based in White House, which is you're actually based in the location of one of your projects, which is known as the Collective Closet. We're going to get to that in just a little while now. You do try to do everything by appointment. You do not encourage walk-ins, even though you are certainly ready, willing, and able to help people any way you can. Mailing address, P.O. Box 133063, Tyler 75713. The phone number, 903-253-9144. Website is thefosteringcollective.org, and social media-wise, you're on Facebook and Instagram. And again, I'm going to personally encourage anybody who's interested to go to that website, because there is so much information on there. Made my job easier this morning. It is thefosteringcollective.org. Now, let's crunch a few numbers. Right now, you tell us there are 1,500 children in foster care in Smith County and surrounding counties. And by that, you mean Smith and adjacent counties, which comes to about 10 counties. But only 500 foster families, and many of those kids are in need of forever families. What's happening to the kids, that group of 1,000 kids who are in foster care but do not have foster families? Where are they? How are they getting along?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think it all comes back to what we need to remember is that there is a huge need out there. Otherwise, we wouldn't have an organization like the Fostering Collective. And what's happening is that there are so many children that are going into foster care and right in our backyards, and there are not families ready to take these kids, either temporarily or forever. And so these kids end up getting shipped off to the closest family they can find, which sometimes can be as far as Dallas or Houston, or we've even heard of kids going down as far as Austin and San Antonio just to find families or facilities that can take these children. And so these are children right here in our community that then get separated from everything that they know, their friends, their family, their churches. And, you know, if we have a goal of reunification for these kids with their families, having them that far from their families is going to make it very difficult for them to be able to keep up any kind of relationship. And so as these parents try to work services and try to get their kids back, it can be very disheartening for them not to be able to see their children. And honestly, a lot of times they can just lose hope.
Mm-hmm. And this is not new to me. It probably is not new to a lot of our listeners this morning, but I appreciate your going back over it again. It's gotten a lot of attention on the governmental level around Texas, but it is a huge challenge, and in a large way, I think it goes without saying that that is where the Fostering Collective comes in. Now, you tell us that you do a lot of partnering, the kind of work you do. You couldn't exist without that, I'm sure. You've partnered with 12 child-placing agencies, first of all. Do you pretty much have that waterfront covered? Are you partnering right now pretty much with all the child-place, or close to all of the child-placing agencies in your service area?
Yes, and in fact, we do meet monthly together, which is just something that we take great pride in, because we're seeing a community develop and then working together, which is just beautiful to get to witness and to be a part of. It's just that all of the troops are working, you know, like Justin said, the boots on the ground. We're working together to try to solve the crisis problems and fill the gaps. You know, ultimately, that's our goal as the Fostering Collective, is to fill those gaps and getting everybody to the table to talk about it. So we do have pretty much all of the child placing agencies coming to that table.
Okay.
Once a month, which is great.
All righty. You also say you have 20-plus churches in the Tyler area that you're partnering with, and 20-plus seems like a lot, but you could use even more, especially, I don't want to say especially, but not just in Tyler, but in all your surrounding counties as well. And Justin, I think you told us earlier that your goal is 10% of the churches in each county. How close are you to achieving that goal, and what kind of progress have you made in, you know, the less than 2 years that you've been up and going?
Yeah, you know, I think everybody that's familiar with our area knows that there are a lot of churches in East Texas, and just in Smith County, there are 300-plus churches. But for these churches to have a heart for children in foster care, we know not every church is at a size or just, you know, is being led to help. But we are hopeful that there are 10% of churches in our area that would put a focus on this and help raise up some families to take in these children. And so that'd be about 30 churches in the Smith County area. But we really hope, because, you know, Smith County right now, we have about half of the foster families that we need in Smith County. So we still need quite a few more in Smith County, but in other surrounding counties, we only have about a fourth of the foster families that we really need. And so our goal is not to just have enough families, it's to have more than enough families so that there are families waiting. Because we shouldn't have, in East Texas, we shouldn't have kids that are in foster care, that are available for adoption, that are still sitting in foster care years later with no families to adopt them. And so we really believe that, that God has called the church to step up and to take care of the widows and the orphans. We know that it's in Scripture, and we know that it's His calling. And so if we can reach out to churches in other counties, then that would be a wonderful help for us, just as our home bases to be able to minister to these children.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't mention it earlier, and if maybe we did, if we did, it somehow got by me. We do want to emphasize that it is a Christ-centered ministry that you have, but I'm sure you welcome anybody with any questions about fostering. You certainly will at least try to respond to them the best way that you can, I would imagine.
Yes, for sure. And, you know, we really believe that so many of these children, they have come out of some sort of trauma, and whether that's abuse or neglect. And so we really feel like that it's through the love of Christ that we can love these children, and that it does take special families that are willing to really offer a lot of grace to these children and also offer a lot of love. And so that's where we feel like the church and Christ Center families are uniquely equipped already to be able to show love. But yes, we ministered to any family that is involved in foster care, that we minister to kinship families, and that is families where, you know, a lot of times a grandmother and grandfather are taking in their grandchildren, and so we want to help minister to them, and so if we can help in any way, we would love to.
You bet. Justin Hayes, Christy Sal, the Fostering Collective, based in White House, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. Just to kind of recap some information, contact information that you'll find helpful. The website is thefosteringcollective.org. Lots of information on there. The website is actually, I think, a very good place to start if you want to know where to go and how you fit into the scheme. And just the different offerings that the Fostering Collective has. The phone number is 903-253-9144, and you are on Facebook and Instagram with regard to the social media piece. I want to talk about the Be the Light campaign. That happened in November, and apparently that was quite successful. Tell us what the Be the Light campaign is, first on, a nationwide level, and then how you were involved locally, what it does, and how successful, and in what ways you were successful with being involved with that effort.
Well, Be the Light, one thing is, we are connected with a national and really international organization called Christian Alliance for Orphans. Mm-hmm. And so they started Orphan Sunday. I think it's going to be 20 years ago this year. And that's a Sunday that churches all over the world are participating in. And then more specifically to foster care, they started something called Stand Sunday, which is actually the same Sunday. It's just standing for children in foster care. So the theme this year was Be the Light. And in November, and we decided to just go all out with this. We thought, you know what, this year with so many people having to stay in homes, with some churches not even able to meet, we just wanted to share that we can be the light for a child in foster care. And so we took that theme and just ran with it and got connected with, you know, like we had said, 20-plus churches that we were able to be with. But then we also connected with KBME, the Christian radio station, mm-hmm. And then we printed up 1,000 yard signs, and we also asked people to put up their Christmas lights early just to show that they are being the light for a child in foster care. So it was just a neat opportunity to really bring some awareness to our community.
And I see that you brought 60-plus new individuals and couples interested in foster care or adoption. Looks like you shared in over 20 churches in 7 counties, and then you put up over 1,000 signs and banners. Do you feel like you're seeing the fruits of those labors, or are you just kind of off to a good start with that? It's only been a couple of months since you had the Be the Light campaign, and we know these things don't change overnight, but do you feel like you've been successful so far, maybe over the last couple of months since that Be the Light campaign was held?
For sure. And so we also have a lot of donations given to our closet. I know we'll talk about that a little bit more later, but so we just were able just to begin to plug people in that want to do volunteer type roles. And we have just to babysit a child that is in foster care, you need lots of certifications and trainings. And so we are actually going to have a babysitter training that is very fruitful this coming Thursday, based on being in the churches and rallying the church to stand in that capacity. And so it's good.
Okay, now clarify this for me. The babysitter training, is that, you know, this being Sunday morning, was that this coming Thursday, or was it this past Thursday?
It's this coming Thursday.
This coming Thursday.
Actually, it was this past Thursday, sorry.
Okay, that's fine. The age of COVID is the age to get a little bit confused, but the point is that you have other trainings. That's quite all right. The point of this is that you have other trainings of that nature coming up, and I think and I know there's a tab on the website for it. I think if you go to the events tab, you'll just be able to see what's coming up, and there are ample opportunities down the road. I think not too far down the road for things like that training is for babysitters, and I think maybe in other areas as well. So a good opportunity for me to encourage people again to go to that website, thefosteringcollective.org. But that's a good answer. Yes. Thank you. Sure. And again, we're visiting with Justin Hayes and Christy Sowell with the Fostering Collective. Thefosteringcollective.org is the website. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. And the next thing we want to mention is you have a big goal for this year. You're hoping to expand more in Longview and counties surrounding Smith County. We've already talked about that some earlier in the show. But Longview being the size that it is, the Longview-Gregg County area, I would imagine that that is really one of your key focal points as far as expansion. Would I be on the money with that?
Oh, for sure. You know, there are so many great people already in the Longview area that are doing a lot for children in foster care. And so we really feel like a lot of people call us a bridge ministry, just to try to bridge the gap between these churches and agencies and people that are wanting to help. And we're excited that we have a few churches that we already know of that are doing something, but we're hoping to bring those churches together. And for this past Stand Sunday, we were able to help out with a couple of churches in Longview, but would love to connect with more churches. And I think that's something for anyone listening right now. If you think that your church would have a heart for children in foster care, we would love to connect with you. And so you can obviously connect to us through our website or whatever, but we would love to help connect some of these churches together so we can do more together.
All righty. And I notice you also list organizations and businesses. If you're a member of an organization or a business, and I think we touched on this a little bit earlier in the show, certainly keep that in mind. If you have an organization, a business, or a civic group that is interested in this topic, certainly don't hesitate to get in touch. I briefly want to talk a little bit more about COVID. And is there anything that's really kind of at center stage, if you will, right now, that people need to remember about how you're dealing with COVID-19 and what they need to keep in mind as you continue to build this organization and recruit more families and help more people who need help? Anything that you're doing that, for example, Zoom meetings instead of in-person trainings, right, anything along those lines?
Yeah, we're definitely offering some of that and trying to help.
So, like, last week we had we have what's called the Family Collective, which is a support group for families. And so we have to get a little creative. So we had a Zoom for that, and there's kids involved. So we ahead of time got some items to each family. So they had these sensory bags, and we were able to get online and through a Zoom and be just creative to teach them some tools to have in their tool bag to help a child, you know, be able to self-regulate and cope with some of the stress and the trauma that's involved with raising a child from a hard place.
All righty. So certainly that's something that you are dealing with, and all the social distancing, hand washing and mask wearing that it takes. I'm sure you're right in there with that. Now, there are a variety of ways to help children in foster care. Again, as we remind you, you're listening to In Focus. I'm John Sims, and our guests are Justin Hayes and Christy Sowell with the Fostering Collective. Right now, you have a big need for empty nesters that could help with older children in foster care. Let's chat about that for a minute. That looks like an interesting topic.
Right. Well, you know, we know that once these families, they send their kids off to college and they start to get married and things, it can be a big relief to be able to have that empty nest. But the reality is that so many of these couples are so good because they've raised teenagers. They understand life with teenagers, and they are in a unique place to be able to minister to teenagers. And so we think that it would be wonderful for some empty nesters to give a few months out of their lives to be able to invest in another teenager, to help them get off on the right foot. So many of these teenagers end up sitting in foster care, and sometimes they have to go to a group home because there aren't enough families to take them in. And so where they could be getting some wonderful advice from a father figure and a mother figure, they're having to be clumped together with many other kids. And so we just feel like this would be a wonderful opportunity to invest in another child, whether it's temporarily or whether you end up adopting a child and then they still go off to college. Their college is paid for as a child in foster care. And there's many other financial benefits for these kids, but what they really need is a mentor type, you know, and a father and a mother. And so what better people that have some time on their hands than empty nesters?
All righty. Volunteer or become a babysitter. Christy, I think you went over the babysitting piece and how people can volunteer for that a little while ago. Any other volunteer opportunities you want people to know about?
Right, and we use kind of the term babysitter a little loosely, just in that, because it just it requires you, or it allows you to be able to really partner and mentor and minister. So we really do need men that will walk through the process of becoming a babysitter, and then perhaps they're just willing to take a team. You know, fishing or something, just to be able to, but you can't be left alone unless you walked through that process of becoming certified and had background checks,
right,
fingerprinting
earlier,
and things like that. You can't be left alone with these children because they are in the custody of the state. And so just walking through that allows you to be able to, maybe you can come over and you've got a kiddo that's, you know, struggling with math and you are, you know, an accountant math genius, and you'll be willing to come and just babysit with these, you know, just tutor these children, but you have that babysitter certification. Okay. So there's just a lot of opportunities to volunteer in that manner and just get a little bit creative with it. So we do need people of all ages. And again, I want to, you know, re-emphasize that for men, because a lot of these children were in single homes being raised before they came into care, and they don't have men that's really pouring into them. And teen girls, you know, that we have a male figure helping them to gain a sense of security and self-worth and value, you know, that's just so important to love on these children and help them to gain that trust and be able to grow.
All right. Justin Hayes, Christy Sal from the Fostering Collective, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. Donations, time to hit that topic. And we'll start off by talking about how people can donate to your collective closet, which is part of your office in White House. What's the best way for people to get materials to that collective closet? And exactly what is the purpose and the function of the collective closet?
Yeah, well, that closet, really one of our biggest needs is we do want to support families that are already doing it, that are fostering or kinship families. And so we want to provide some supplies. If somebody gets a call that there's a child in need, often that child will show up at their house within the next few hours. And so we want to make sure that we have some items on hand. We just call them essential items that they would need for whatever age the child is. And so if it's a baby, we've got pack and plays and diapers and car seats mm-hmm. and cribs and all sorts of things. And if it's an older child, we do have some clothing items and toiletries. And then we always try to give a Bible to every kid that comes in or every parent to give to that child. And so people can help stock that closet, which is wonderful. And you can either call our number and leave a message, or you can contact us through our website if you have some items. Now, some of those items, because of just government regulations, car seats have to be new. Cribs, we like to order the same type of crib that are very easy for people to put together. So we try to do new things on that. But a lot of these items you can give us used items.
Okay. And you talked about how to contact you. The phone number, 903-253-9144, and that website, again, thefosteringcollective.org. What about financial donations? I forgot to check and see if you have a financial donation tab on your website, but what about that?
Yes, we definitely would love any financial donations. This is an organization that is run by individuals and businesses and churches, and so we're so thankful for any donations that people can give. And so you can also donate straight through our website, or if you are a business and you're looking to connect in some way and do more, then we'd love to talk to you about it, because we do have some businesses and churches that help us in specific ways. Sometimes a business can donate, you know, five pack and plays or five car seats or just help us with some trainings. Maybe they can be a sponsor for something. Now, we do have a golf tournament coming up April 12th, and we'll be looking for some corporate sponsors for that golf tournament. And so if you would like to connect as a business in that way, that'd be wonderful. You can be a sponsor of the golf tournament, and then you can come play in the golf tournament, and that will take place in Tyler.
Okay, have you got a spot picked out yet? And I know you have to deal with anything, any adjustments you might have to make for wherever we are with COVID at that point. But do you have a country club or a golf course picked out yet? And as of now, is it an in-person event?
Yes, it will be at Holly Tree, and we are planning it for it to be in person. And we are hopeful, since it is an outdoor event, that, unless anything has to change regulation-wise, that we will be fine with doing this event. We can even do a lunch outside if we need to. We're excited about this opportunity to bring some people together. And it's actually going to be the launching day for East Texas Giving Day. So
right.
This will be a wonderful opportunity to bring a bunch of people together that are kind of like-minded and have a passion for these children in foster care. And then we can launch into East Texas Giving Day, which then will be April 27th.
Yeah, that's the East Texas Communities Foundation fundraiser that has just become enormously successful over the last several years. So you might want to go ahead and mark your calendars right now, April 12th for your golf tournament, April 27th for the ETCF East Texas Giving Day. And guess what, folks? The show has moved more quickly than I anticipated, or maybe I'm just a little bit slow on the uptake, but we're just about out of time. And I do want to just quickly summarize everything. Been talking to Justin Hayes and Christy Sowell with the Fostering Collective East Texas. 903-253-9144 is the phone number. Get your information off that website if you choose, thefosteringcollective.org, and they do have Facebook and Instagram under the social media heading. And beyond that, it's just been great visiting with both of you. Justin and Christy, thanks so much for visiting with us this morning and sharing what could really be some life-saving information for a lot of people.
Thank you. We really appreciate you helping us raise
you
this awareness.
You bet. Justin Hayes and Christy Sal. You bet. Justin Hayes, Christy Sal with the Fostering Collective, our guest this morning on Unfocus. I'm John Sims. Thank you for joining us. See you again next week on In Focus.